T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we are back. Marks and Reese, John Harbaugh, Ravens head coach, joins us at 4 o'clock. Elliot joins us right now. He's our Eagles reporter for Go Birds podcast and 94WIP.com. Elliot Shore Parks is brought to you by your Tri-State Toyota dealers, proud partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. And actually, Ike, we need a new intro for Elliot to kind of rotate. We need a parody song.
Really?
So, yeah, I think another one to mix in would be good. So if you can out there just tweet us or Instagram us with some ideas, and we'll come up with one. All right? Huh. Let's go to Elliot Shore Parks right now. What's up, ESP?
What's going on, guys? Happy birthday, Ike. Hope it's going to be a good one.
Oh, it already is, brother. I'm above.
There you go.
I'm above ground, so everything else is gravy today.
Right. Plus, I'm on the show. You got Harbaugh at 4.
So, there you go.
Good football
Ike's
Friday.
Favorite people in the world. Absolutely.
Yes.
So, Elliot, before we get into the game, I mean, your tweet that Jim Schwartz is a very good defensive coordinator, although I disagree with it, I didn't think it was that ridiculous, just because, you know what I did? I was searching for, like, all right, well, what did national people think about Jim Schwartz, right? So doing some Googling, trying to find some rankings for defensive coordinators, you can't find a lot of lists, but the ones that are out there would generally agree that he's a 5-6-7 defensive coordinator in the league. I don't agree with it. I don't think Jim Schwartz is a very good defensive coordinator, but he's good, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's borderline an elite defensive coordinator, if we're going to be completely honest.
See, now you're trolling us, man. No, he's not.
First of all, it's shown how bad it's gotten around the Eagles that I'm defending the defensive coordinator, and people are mad at me about it, right?
Yeah, because we don't like him. You defend the people we don't like, and you rip the people we do.
But he's definitely one of the best coaches on the staff, and the stats prove it. I mean, since he was hired in 2016, the Eagles have had one of the best defenses in the league, period.
That's a fact.
Absolutely. By every statistical measure, they've been a
top. How about from your eye?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. What about that?
Yeah, dude, look, they're not perfect. I agree. They give up plays at times, right? You think of the fourth down in overtime against Tennessee. They were not good last Sunday. I agree. But the stats are the stats, and if we were to watch every defense every week, we'd see bad plays from them too. Since he was hired in 2016, they're eighth in the league in points allowed. He is the number one playoff defense in 2016. He has the number four third down defense.
The number one playoff defense,
which I was surprised about. So they've consistently performed at a very high level, even though, and I think we would all agree on this, the personnel at times is not great. They spend way more money on the offense than they do the defense.
No, they don't. I don't know about that.
Well, look at the defensive line.
They have spent more money on the offensive side of the ball than the defensive side of the ball every year since 2016.
But isn't that kind of the way of the NFL, though?
Wait, can we agree the money is spent on the offensive line and the defensive line? We'll agree with that,
and the quarterback.
Yeah, right. If you were to rank the positions, that's where it would be. But my point is, Schwartz is doing more with less than arguably the offensive side of the ball when they've invested more money.
All right, I'm tired of this nonsense.
So I'm saying, how is he not a very good defensive coordinator? I'm just curious why. I don't know if you disagree or agree with it, Ike, but it sounds like John disagrees. Why is he not a very good defensive coordinator?
Well, I would ask this. I don't think he's a very good defensive coordinator. I think he is a solid defensive coordinator. He's not as bad as we sometimes make him out to be. He isn't a bottom third defensive coordinator. He's more around a top third defensive coordinator. I would agree with that. 10, mm-hmm. 12, he's somewhere around there. But here's the problem, Elliot, that we have with him. It's primarily when you're going up against what we would consider an above-average quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how do they do in those games when it comes to defense? I don't recall a lot of games where they shut down some of the better quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I'd have to look up how he's done against specific quarterbacks. I would say that the rules are engineered to lean towards the offense.
Sure,
a reason these are elite quarterbacks. But my ultimate point I would make is, since he's been hired, and I think especially over the last 2 years, way more often than not, this defense plays well enough to win. Like, the issue with Schwartz is when it's ugly, it's really ugly. Like, it looks really bad. And I was surprised when I looked this up. He's only given up over 30 points 9 times as a defensive coordinator with the Eagles. He's held his opponents under 20 points 30 times. So he's way more likely to hold the defense under the offense under 20 than he is to get, you know, to get roasted and give up over 30 points. Now, it does look ugly at times, but the results are the results. I think it was Ray Dinger said this week on the station, the bottom line business. And at the end of the day, the defense has outplayed the offense the last 2 years.
Mm. Yeah, I'll give you top third defense.
Yep.
But you said elite. You said elite.
He's a top 5 or 6 defensive coordinator probably. So it depends on where you cut it off as elite. But he's at least a very good defensive.
I'm gonna tell you wherever that line is at, that elite line is at, he's behind it.
He's under it.
Yes.
Right. Well, it's your birthday, so I'll drop.
So Elliot, last year the Eagles did a great job against Russell Wilson. He had a subpar day, and then the week before that. Or was it the week after? The week before that, they did well against Tom Brady, who I just think wasn't very good last year.
Yeah, that offense stunk last year.
Yeah, that was bad. But, I mean, Russell Wilson is considered, if not the best quarterback, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So, to your point, one more thing on this, and then we'll move on to the game. But, like, when you talk about an elite defensive coordinator, when you're talking about yards and I guess points, that's one thing. But when do they ever create turnovers to flip the field and to help the offense out? And when I look at elite defenses, that's what I think of. Teams that can score touchdowns, teams that can create turnovers, and I don't ever see that out of a Jim Schwartz defense.
Well, it's been a problem this year, for sure. I mean, I think they only have a turnover in one game, right? Or maybe two now. I think they had one last week. But overall, again, they're 10th in the league. So are they doing it every week? No, they're not. But over the last 4 years, only 9 teams have done it more. So I just think, you know, first of all, creating turnovers is tough, and it's hard to predict. Like, turnovers aren't really on Jim Schwartz. Turnovers, I think, are more a product of elite skill players, especially in the secondary, which is not really something they've had. Like, you can't really scheme turnovers to a certain extent. So I don't know if you really put that on Jim Schwartz, but even if you do, they're 10th in the league since he's gotten here. So, I mean, they're still doing a pretty good job at it.
Yeah, a lot of it's on the personnel. Elliot Shore Parks, your thoughts on this weekend's game or Sunday's game against the Ravens? That most of the betting public has been all over the Ravens, but yet that line hasn't moved at all. It almost seems like Vegas is inviting more bets for the Ravens, which doesn't make sense. I think it's a close game, but the Eagles fall short. What are you thinking?
I think they're going to win the game. I think that of the 3-game stretch here against the Niners, Steelers, and now the Ravens, I feel the best about this one. And the reason is, the Ravens can't really throw the ball. When you look at how they win, it's running. And the Eagles very rarely get ran all over. Like, very rarely, I can remember in the last few years, have they lost a game because of the run defense. So not only that, Lamar Jackson's not really running it very much. He's only ran it 9 times the last 2 games. That's the lowest 2-game output over his career. I think he's probably hurt. I know he was dealing with a knee injury. So I'm not as worried about Lamar. I'm not worried about the secondary getting torched. I trust the defensive line to keep the run game in check. And the offense has been improving. They're averaging 27 points a game over the last 2 weeks. So I think that the arrow is pointing up on the offense, and I think this is a good spot for them.
All right.
Yeah, we actually agree, Elliot, on the game Sunday. I think the Eagles are going to find a way to win this game Sunday, and it has more to do with the Ravens not playing at their best right now, which the Eagles need that little bit of luck. You need a team to be a little banged up, not clicking on all cylinders, because quite frankly, we know the Eagles aren't brimming with talent to where they're just going to be able to go out there and just out-talent anyone. So I agree. I think this is it's a good time to catch the Ravens, and I think the Eagles coming off of the last 2 weeks can continue to build on what they've been doing.
Yeah, and I would also say, I mean, I've never seen a stadium with 5,500 fans, so we'll see how loud they are. But I do think coming home, having fans there, gives you that a little bit extra juice. And as you mentioned, I think they're getting the Ravens at a good time in terms of how they're playing. The Ravens are a better team than the Eagles, but I do think on Sunday, the Eagles will win the game. I think they're going to win 24-21.
Man, what are you thinking, D-Jack? Doug said he could. It's possible. What do you think?
So he's officially out.
God.
He did it 2 weeks in a row where he's trying to make you believe that they're going to try on game day, and then he's out on Friday. So he's officially out.
I'm sorry. Didn't need to ask you that question.
It just happened.
It just happened.
Well, yeah, I'm happy John cut in there, because I would have said Doug's team today like he thought he was going to play. So Doug did a good job, I guess, tricking the media. I mean, I'm normally pretty good at reading Doug, and he seemed optimistic.
Yeah,
so.
But who's
so what is that? What is that, though? Why is he ruled out on a Friday when the game's not till Sunday?
He's obviously really hurt still. I mean, right? I feel like with hamstring injuries especially, if, you know, if it's not still pretty bad, they at least want to bring you to the stadium on Sunday, have you stretch it out.
Right.
This is a third missed game. Like, he can't even be close if they're not even trying to get him to go on Sunday. This is his third missed game, 3 weeks.
Yeah, and And the other part of that is, remember, the IR rules are changed this year. So if they would have put him on IR at the beginning of the injury, he's now out three games. It would have been no difference. They could have had the roster spot. And if you look, there's a few guys like that. Alshon. Could have been on PUP. Avante Maddox looks like he's out again. So that's, I'm pretty sure that's 3 weeks for him. And, you know, you could argue it doesn't really matter because there's not a ton of talent on this team, but you cut a young guy like Casey Tuhill,
who
drafted in the seventh round, got now claimed by Washington. So it's just, you know, these little roster mismanagements are really adding up.
But the guys that cover the team on a daily basis all weren't happy that Tuhill got released and then Washington picked him up because they like his upside. Or,
man, nobody care about what they like, man.
Well, the Eagles liked them somewhat. They drafted him in the seventh round. They kept him on the 53-man roster, and they played him in week one. So they must have seen something there. I just don't think this team's at a point where you can give up on Casey Tuhill just to get Vinny Curry back. Like, we're not talking about
who the hell is Casey Tuhill, man? Who is this?
Well, I mean, maybe, who knows? Maybe he will be finding out twice a year for the next few years.
Yeah, that's just what they need is more pass rushers.
No, and honestly, Elliot, I was seriously asking who the hell is Casey Tuhill.
What number was he?
Defensive end out of Stanford. So, yeah, I mean, the Eagles said they really liked him, but I guess they didn't like him that much because they cut him just to bring somebody back, either him or Curry or Will Park. So
I tell you, if this Casey Tuhill comes back and bites us, man.
I'm going to say you were right.
Yep.
That's all I'm going to do. You mentioned Will Park. Is he playing this week?
I think he's going to play. His teammates have said that he's going to play, and Eagles fans will like to hear this. Him playing probably means less Nate Gary on the field because I'm guessing they're going to put him out there a lot more in coverage situations where they've had Nate Gary. I would think that's a help, especially this year, this week against the Ravens with Mark Andrews.
Yep.
Yes.
You know, I would think that would be a good matchup for him.
We might have to go 7 DBs, Sunday.
Might as well. There's no linebackers that are playing.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
So you might as well just fill them. They're the same size, too, the way the Eagles draft them.
Any chance that – I know Jim Schwartz likes to go with his best guys. Any chance that maybe he was asked to give some of the young guys some reps, and you know I'm talking about Bradley or Taylor.
I don't think so. I mean, I know last week Sean Bradley got in there for a few snaps and actually had a nice play on the goal line to help prevent a tackle, but I just don't think Davion Taylor is ready. I mean, you don't even hear talk of him potentially being able to get out there. And as a third-round pick, that's obviously disappointing. But I think instead of seeing the younger linebackers, you'll just see more of the safeties out there. I mean, Kayvon Wallace might see an increased role. And then obviously Will Park's coming back. So I think you'll see more of the safeties.
Mm. Well, you have it. Elliot Shore Parks, the Go Birds podcast. Mm-hmm. It's a great listen. You should read him at 94WIP.com. And, Elliot, we have Scott Willits gives us a parody song for you. Are you down with ESP? You down with ESP?
Yeah, you know me.
Boom. I like it. I like it. I like it better. I want that from now on whenever I come in. That's how you guys can introduce me.
No.
But we may have to change know me because that's not really how it would go, right? Anyway. Elliot, thank you.
We'll think of something. All right. Talk to you guys
later. All right, brother.
Have a birthday,
there he is.
Thank you, brother.
Elliot. Down with ESP? Yeah, you know me. He made a not as an like when he says the word elite.
That's the trigger word.
That's reserved for elite defensive coordinators.
Yes.
Like you had said, top third.
Top third. Yeah.
Like here's the thing with guys like Jim Schwartz. They're good defensive coordinators, but I also believe they have a shelf life, right? Like when they've kind of their message is kind of worn off,
right.
Like it's just time for a change, right?
Yeah.
Coordinators aren't normally here as long as the Jim Johnsons.
5 years. This is fifth year too.
Fifth
right?
year.
Yeah, this is fifth year. So. Yeah, I mean, he's top third, man. I gave him a top. I gave him 10, 11.
You could do worse.
Yeah.
We did worse with Billy Davis, right?
Man.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, he came right in. It was like.
Or Juan.
Or Juan, right. I mean, but I'll look at.
My
I'll
bad,
look at,
Juan.
I'll yeah, look I'll at Jim Schwartz. Are you a Schwartzite, Jack? Are you not a Schwartz? You were not a Schwartz guy?
I think Schwartz is better than people give him credit for. Like people are a little too. The Schwartz thing is
a little over the top.
It's like Brett Brown, where everyone just blames everything
when
on
the
him.
When the defense is bad, we fire Schwartz.
Exactly.
Here's the real issue with him. His defense doesn't have a true identity.
All right.
Like, what are you? Are you a attack style defense? Are we a man principle defense? Are we a zone? Like, I don't understand. You know, you don't want to be classified as a wide nine defense, but that's really what you use up front.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he even knows what they want. Well, now it is like Elliot is right. Some of this is personnel based. I mean, it's not like they have great skill in some positions, but
Are we going to act like he don't have anything to do with that?
And that's the other part of it.
Yeah.
If he wanted more better linebackers or whatever, he could certainly say that.
Well, yeah. Whose choice was it to draft Davion Taylor? I mean, I don't know whose it was, but who was
it? Sure, he had some influence in it, right?
I actually feel that that's more of a Howie pick because he's the high upside athlete, you know?
As opposed to Schwartz would want the better college player that has experience and played the Big Ten.
Right.
I don't know. That would be my – like Barnett feels like a Schwartz pick. He had more sacks than Reggie White.
We could have taken Logan Wilson.
Yep. Our Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. If you're thinking of getting engaged, Mark's Jewelers is the place to go. 25,000 square foot showroom. It is amazing. Mark's-Jewelers.com.
I thought we ought to make Jalen Hurts play every position that we could have taken that's in need now.
He should have to play defense.
Yeah.
He's big enough to be a linebacker,
exactly,
isn't he?
Yes. Safety or something.
Put him out there. Our question is Jim Schwartz a good defensive coordinator? No or no? And no is winning right now.
Y'all wrong for that.
Let's go back to the phones. Pete in South
Jersey. Dumbass things. Pretty soon you're going to be labeled a dumbass.
Pete, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. I'd like to say happy birthday to Ike Reese first.
Yes.
Oh, appreciate it, Pete.
Yeah. Really like you guys, man.
Thank you.
So here's my deal. Elliot Shaw Parks comes in there. I respect him. But then he comes on with these stats. Man, come on. The last 3 or 4 years, they've been playing in the NFL East. They play teams that are like below 500 twice a year. So those stats are meaningless. Okay, Jim Schwartz, to me, he's serviceable as some kind of coach, but he doesn't really when he's on the radio saying, no, it's not my job to call a timeout. Are you kidding me? He's saying that, well, what about your players? Well, they're not really my players. That's the front office. Come on, man. He's passing the buck. I don't know what he's doing. I mean, I respect the man for all the years he's been in it, but that's it. And I got to say happy birthday again. I turned 65 a couple of weeks ago. I know you're not my age.
Almost.
But you hit it, brother.
Oh, I love it, man. Happy belated birthday to you too, Pete. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Pete. Yes. Thank you very much. Good call.
A lot of birthdays in October.
Yeah. Bryce Harper's birthday today.
John Mayer's birthday today. Mm-hmm.
Know what that means. Mom and Pop's New Year's.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Somewhere around there,
A little bit afterwards, right?
I guess.
A lot of COVID babies being born now.
I'm sure.
Right?
Right.
It's an uptick in it. Just like after the Eagles won the Super Bowl, there was a ton of babies born right after that.
There was.
I
avoided that.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Me too. John Harbaugh, Ravens head coach, joins us at 4 o'clock today. Back into what we started the show with, and if you have an opinion on Jim Schwartz, 215-592-9494. But we've determined based on kind of what callers are saying and polls, the morning show did a poll, middays did a poll, about 75% of the people are picking the Ravens to win. Eagles fans are picking the Ravens to win. Why? Like, what is the reason? Is it that the Eagles aren't a good football team, or is it the Ravens are just too good? And Ike actually is picking that the Eagles win. You think the Eagles are going to win?
I do. I got them winning 21-17.
That's how they would have to win the game, too, yeah. Right? It would have to be kind of an ugly game.
Yeah.
But I think the Eagles are on the right track. I really do. I'm not as down on this team as some people are or as I was earlier. I feel like that they're going to have a run here. It's just a matter of when it starts. I just don't know if they have enough this weekend against the Ravens. So it actually doesn't have to do with the Eagles. It has more to do with the Ravens. Ravens are too good. So that's my reasoning for it. Let's go back to the phones on that. We'll go to Ziggy and Lehigh. Ziggy.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hi, Ziggy.
What's up, Ziggy?
Happy birthday, Ike.
Holla at your boy.
Many more to come, brother.
Thank you.
Listen, I think that the Eagles eke it out this week by a point.
Mm.
It's going to be low scoring, and I think both defenses are going to show up because of, I don't know, the subconscious pressure that they have about the Eagles, how the Ravens score, and even on the Ravens side, Carson Wentz and his newfound weapons. So I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, a defensive game, and I think somehow the Eagles pull it out. I'm an Eagles guy, so I'm never going to say lose. So I'm going to say by 1 point.
I love it. I'll take it.
All right, Ziggy.
I'll take a 1 point win.
We appreciate the call. Yeah, oh, man, I think any point win. I mean, we'll take a 1 point loss with World Victory Monday.
Yeah, I prefer the 1 point loss than a 1 point win at this
point. Stop.
Come on. Stop. We got another week of Moral Victory Mondays?
No, I don't want that.
Honestly, on Monday wasn't bad. Normally after losses, it's bad. it wasn't as bad because it was a moral victory.
I didn't call it that, but that's really what it was.
That's how everybody acted.
Yeah.
Baldy was not happy, though. Baldy was not happy. I brought it up to him. He said, moral victory Monday. What is that?
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, he's not a moral victory guy. I can tell.
Yeah, just look at Baldy's pinky, and that'll tell you why he's not a moral victory guy. It's facing the other direction. All right, the Jim Schwartz wine lines are open. Let's go to Jay in West Philly. Hi, Jay. Jay, hello. Oh, Jay, you're one of my favorite callers, man. We'll try you again. Let's go to Theo in Chester County. Theo, what's up?
Hey, yeah, so I wish that guy Elliot was still on the phone because I had a question for him about Jim Schwartz.
I can text him. Why don't you ask the question? And I'll text
him. I'm not going to. Thanks, yeah. But no, I was just saying, I was thinking to myself, why did Rasul Douglas and Sidney Jones not succeed here and succeed elsewhere? I think that makes Schwartz look bad.
It's a good question.
Yeah, like at what point do players start to develop with Jim Schwartz being here, right? I mean, he's been here for 5 years. This is fifth season.
Yeah.
And it looks like he failed with them. And, you know, they were the young guys that we picked with some, you know, with some early picks.
Yeah.
And that we wanted to develop. And all of a sudden they look good now that they're gone. I mean, that says a lot about Jim Schwartz, that not good things about him.
I agree with you. Like, what would be your answer for why a guy like Sidney Jones can't even sniff the field for the most part unless absolutely necessary, they have no other bodies, and Rasul Douglas, guys go down, they go with other guys instead of him, they go to other places and they're having success. How would you explain that? Other than just they're not Jim Schwartz guys.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, sometimes it's, I guess, the scheme and whether or not the coach sees the player as a good fit for what they're trying to do. And sometimes a coach just sours on a player, right? He just does. You know, coaches, they're human beings, and they have their favorites just like anybody else does. And then they also have guys that, you know, it's just like, he's not one of my guys. And I think these two fell in that category. And then they go somewhere. And that also becomes frustrating to the player because the player wonders, why am I not playing?
What do I got to
do? He doesn't have confidence in me. Now the player isn't completely invested in the team and the defense. So he is imagining getting out of here, right? I can't wait to get away from Jim Schwartz.
You know, it's kind of backwards because normally the draft picks play ahead of other players even if they shouldn't, right? And it's the exact opposite like that with Jim Schwartz.
Unless he wasn't a guy that – he wanted in the draft.
With Jim Schwartz and Rasul Douglas, good point.
Unless that wasn't a guy Jim Schwartz said. Wasn't there a story out there that the D-line coach about Sharif Miller? He didn't want Sharif Miller.
I think it was Chris Wilson.
Was it Chris Wilson?
Yeah.
No, it was the other one. Philip Daniels?
Yeah,
Daniels.
He's not here anymore, I believe.
Not after that.
Right, like he was adamant this is the wrong guy to draft, and they drafted him anyway, and he was loud about it, and now he's not here anymore.
And neither is Sharif Miller.
Yeah, exactly.
So that happens too, where the front office can take a guy that the coach may not necessarily be high on.
And also with Rasul, if he's trying to play man coverage, he's just not equipped to do that.
And you know, I always thought he was a safety. Yeah.
Yeah, you've been saying it for.
But they found a way to play him down there. So if he's playing zone defense down there and he's excelling in it, sometimes you just need a fresh start.
Yeah.
Right? You need to go somewhere different, get a fresh start.
Well, I mean, geez, Al Harris was released from the Packers. He came here. He turned into a Pro Bowl type player.
Yep. Released from Tampa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, was it Tampa?
Yeah, it was Tampa. He went to Green Bay.
Yeah,
he went to Green Bay after here.
Mm. Yeah, how he's
actually coaching the Cowboys, I believe.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good player.
He's DB coach.
He was. A lot of PIs and legal contacts and stuff like that, but he was an aggressive. I loved Al Harris. Oh, yeah. He was great. 215-592.
Take an Al Harris right now.
Right now, they need an Al Harris.
I don't know why. He always seemed like he got a pick six. Like every game, it felt like a pick six for that.
Well, it wasn't, but
in my mind, it was.
He could.
Yes,
he could. So Deshaun out for Sunday,
I can't believe that.
And
man.
I knew it. He did the same thing last week, where it's like, oh, well, maybe Deshaun will play, and then literally 2 hours later, he's out.
Which return has been better, Deshaun's return or AI's in like 2009?
AIs, right, as of now.
No, I don't know about that.
Well, at least he had the one game against Kobe, right? Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so listen, we'll do this coming up next. Can you play Doug, when he asked about Deshaun today, just play the Doug thing? Because, literally, it sounded like that he was going to play. And, like, why not just say he's not going to play?
Unbelievable.
Markson Reese. We'll also tell you who else has already been ruled out, Ike. It's a big name. It's not good for the Eagles. Markson Reese on 94 WIP. Back after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.